Blog Talk Radio.
But none of that even matters now. Your history isn't your destiny. And you'll find in this life that if you want something you've never had, you have to be willing to do something you've never done. But today's a new day. You stop looking at all the reasons why you consider yourself a victim. You're still here. Nothing has stopped you yet. You've been hit, you've been poked, you've been betrayed, you've been hurt. There's no doubt life has challenged you, but you're still here. You're no victim. You're a victor. You have a history of victory. The only truth is that you are nothing less than spectacular. Stop doubting yourself. You were put on this earth to thrive. Don't you dare put a question mark where God put a period.
Hi, this is Byron Katie.
Hi, this is Dr. John Gray, author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
Hi, this is Greg Braden.
Hi, this is Joan Borisenko. I'm author of Your Soul's Compass.
Hi, this is Dan Millman, author of Way of the Peaceful Warrior.
Hi, this is James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy. You've tuned in to a radio show that can truly change your life. It's time to break free from the prison of your negative thoughts and release your greatest self. You're listening to Empowered Living with Steve Marabowie.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Marabowie. In the next hour, Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Marabowie.
Welcome. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Marabowie. Of course, you're welcome to participate with this show no matter where you're listening, no matter how you're listening. You can participate through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. You're listening to a show, and I'm so honored to be the host. It's really become a meeting place for today's great thinkers and communicators, hundreds of thousands of people all over the world listening to this show, and 10 times that on the archives. Thank you all so much for spreading the word about this show today. Our good friend James Redfield comes back to the show. James is the internationally best-selling author of the Celestine Prophecy series of books. His new book, The 12th Insight, The Hour of Decision, is on bestseller list all over the place. So many people talking about it. We get to talk to James for another hour. This show today is going to be a shorter one hour show, so we're going to have a great conversation. Of course, the Better Today community, keep doing it, man. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. People all over the world wondering how we can get so much done, how we get some great people participating, and it's simply that power of one. It's not a mystery. It's getting out there and being active. It's getting out there and being the change you wish to see, as Gandhi said. The power of one is one kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Give it a whirl. Have an impact on someone else's life today. Touch someone's life. Participate in someone's evolution, not only your own, but participate in someone else's. Enjoy the synchronicities and share. Try it. Try it, and you'll never stop doing it. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. I want to get to the show since it's shorter. James Redfield, of course, the New York Times best-selling author of the Celestine Prophecy series of books. His phenomenal novel spent over 3 years on the New York Times bestseller list. And, of course, we are always honored to have him on the show. James is talking about his newest book, The 12th Insight, The Hour of Decision. And, as always, sir, it's an honor to have you on the program. Welcome back.
Thank you, Steve. Nice to be with you.
So we first, congrats on the success of the book. The write-ups are fantastic for it. Congrats on making the bestseller list. And also, thank you so much for writing this timely information and wrapping it into an exciting story. And, you know, when we've been having these conversations, and even when you're not on the show, we talk about synchronicities, and we talk about living in alignment. And there's questions, and of course, there's actions and reactions. we'll get the feedback from, well, how do I'm trying to live in alignment, but it seems my friends and my families are resistant, or I'm helping others and it seems that no good deed is going unpunished. I mean, well, how do I do this? And James, we're really talking about alignment and living in this alignment.
Yeah, and it's something that really pays off in every way in our lives, and that's the important thing. You know, we really do live in a spiritual world. We've thought and assumed that it was mostly materialistic, and we make a decision whether we believe in something transcendent or God, and it's a matter of just belief. We choose to believe, or we choose to put it off and not believe, or not to even consider the question. But the fact is, this world is not materialistic. I mean, we took a materialistic slant for 400 years, you know, in history, just to be able to define things and create a language of talking about nature and figuring out how things work at the level of social organization, you know, and nature, and you know, how to forecast tornadoes and things like that. Because And that was important, because what we did was we cultivated a kind of ego that had a language to discuss with other people this place, this earthly existence that we find ourselves in. But the fact is, at this moment in history, we're adding a knowledge about the spiritual life to this material life. We still have to, you know, have a job and have to make money, and we have to do all the things, raise our kids. We have to do all the things we've always done. But we can find and prove to ourselves that if we tune in spiritually, if we realize how it works spiritually, then everything goes better. We know how to deal with problems with our kids. We know how to navigate through changing economic times. There's a way to do that. And of course, in the book, The 12th Insight, and again, this is a description of a consciousness that's, you know, happening already. And this 12th Insight consciousness is about tuning in and getting sea legs to live this spiritual life. But, you know, the book describes that in depth, but it really boils down to being able to get into alignment with how the spiritual part of the world is designed, so that this thing we all have always called karma begins to work for us. Our lives go easier. We get help. All the rest. So it's boy, it's great. It's fun to be able to go all over the place talking about this and listening to people's reactions about it. And leaving tomorrow for Italy and Spain, and then later in the year Australia, and you know, just the traveling I love, because this is happening across cultures. This sort of aha moment, this insight of, wow, we have figured out the secret to making life go better and having the most creative fun in life that we can have. All those things.
You know, and that's the key there, is when you start, when it's that marriage. It's that marriage of spirituality, marriage of listening to your inner dialogue, as well as managing synchronicities, and then also dealing with your conditioned thoughts about materialism and what's constantly being fed to us as far as materialism goes. And it is that becomes that conflict. James, is there a standard? Is karma, is it equally balanced? We're learning that our universe, of course, is relative, as Mr. Einstein said, and modern quantum physics is finding this. But are you finding that karmic reactions and laws of synchronicity, that's pretty uniform for all spiritual beings?
Yeah, I think in every religious tradition acknowledges that there are mysterious coincidences and guiding intuitions that if we follow them, put us in a place where these mysterious coincidences occur to open up opportunities for us to make life go better, to solve problems. You know, that transcends all religions in all cultures. All people experience that and always have. Now, what we're, I believe, learning now with the 12th insight opening of consciousness is that we can do it. We can increase the frequency of this flow we're talking about. We can increase our tuning into intuition. And again, you know, we can get the universal helping us. You know, it's a kind of God, the hand of God, and then all this. But it's the way events happen synchronistically to help us in life. And again, it all begins. We've talked about this before. It all begins. That alignment begins by deciding to look for and begin to tell the truth, the best that we can know it, about who we are, about the world as we understand it, about our past, our present, the mistakes we've made. That transparency, or what's called the movement toward authenticity out there. And if you Google authenticity, what you find is a million bits of information about people who are talking about a return to authenticity, talking about how to do it. It's a movement. It's a happening. It's an awakening about authenticity. And again, so it starts with the truth. Very simple, a truth of an honoring of truth, which means, don't make it up. Don't pretend you know what you don't know. Be very, concrete about what you think you know, and be open to a better truth, you know, more truth. Let our truth evolve. So, but it's that first settling into a search for the truth of around us, of who we are, what's going on, and then be willing to tell others the best truth that we can formulate in order to help them with something. And that's the magic that opens up the rest of our consciousness. But telling the truth, be centered in a search for truth, and tell the truth to others in a way that's helpful, you know, to help with them with something. And what happens is that the ideas come to you intuitively to say to people, you know, the Better Today community is all about doing something, you know, to help. Walking around the streets, coming out your door, you know, look for ways to help. Well, you know, you were tied into this 12th insight blossoming, you know, this awakening, because that's what begins it all, truth and the service to other people, and that's what we talk about when we say alignment. Now, that grows as I try to illustrate in the 12th Insight book. But, you know, today, I think, Steve, it's just very, very important to talk about how simple this is, but yet how profound a change it makes in one's life.
Well, that's exactly right. And we're talking about, these are not only changes that affect the world around you, these are changes that affect you inside, including changes that affect your health. I know that living, and we've been talking, I've built this group of people that I communicate with on a regular basis, and we've been talking about authenticity, of course, in the show since its beginning, and a lot of people commenting on how much healthier they feel, not just how much more aware they are of synchronicities and the opportunities to help those around them, but how much healthier they feel inside, spiritually and mentally healthier by living an authentic life.
Yeah, because, you know, what happens is that, you know, we get answers to all our questions. You know, we hear about, well, you know, you should eat better. Well, you know, the first question of that is, what does that mean? There's all these theories about it. What does it mean to eat better? Well, what occurs is that if that is a question, and we begin to seek that answer in a way that's truthful, where we're really looking, we don't want to join a cult about food, you know. We want to look for real truth about how to live healthier in terms of food and seeking the right kind of medical attention and all that. Those answers come synchronistically. In other words, we can start to trust the process. A genuine search of truth always yields an answer. It's just like prayer. And that's what the activation of really seeking, knocking on the door, really, you know, seeking the truth, it creates a response in the universe that brings the synchronicities and that information to you quite amazingly. So it's I think you would agree. Every question we have, whether it's health or anything else about what we are here to do in life, always gets an answer.
It absolutely does. And speaking of questions and answers, I gotta get some feedback. There's so many people who are huge fans of yours, James, and have built a relationship with you over the years on this show as well, wanting to make sure that you're all right and that your family's all right and that everything's going okay down south. But of course, you guys got just mauled by a bunch of twisters, and people want to know how you're doing.
Well, listen, it's one of those outbreaks of tornadoes that probably the worst one in the U.S. since I think the one in maybe Oklahoma in the 70s. And it was just, those big supercells. And, the thing that's amazing now is that, many of us have these smartphones, and you can just tune into the same radar that the weatherman on the television is looking at. And in this case, we just saw a bowling, 12 supercells coming right down the lane across Alabama. And because they're big, and these are a lot of three, four, and five level tornadoes, you go in your basement, these are the kind that suck you right out of there. So, for many people, there was nowhere to go because there was a tornado coming, 20 miles away as well. So it was an odd situation, one of those horrifying kinds of events. It's like all the other weather anomalies that we're having. It's not like they've never happened before, but they're happening now, and maybe even more frequently, and I think that has to do with sun cycles. But what's amazing to see is the response. And we've talked here a lot about the Mayan prophecies and what the calendar has really predicted is a unity consciousness. So what is happening to other people it feels like it's happening to us or someone we know. While before we could have abstracted it and say, well, those people are down south, or those people are in suffering an earthquake way over in Japan, and not tune in with the kind of empathy that's happening now. So part of this awakening, as you said, is a oneness, a unity between people. And what you see is all this outpouring of empathy and aid. There's some people doing documentaries on the number of volunteers who just came from everywhere into the South and to really help. I mean, get out there and load boxes and show up with food and help remove debris. And without a doubt, it's the greatest thing that I've ever seen here. That just means we are connecting with one another more, and we are set up to take action to help people. Not just want somebody else to do it or think it's a good idea for someone else to do it, but actually go and do it and take the time. And, that's an amazing thing to see. It was a horrifying event, but the outpouring of connection afterward is, to me, making the right use of it and maybe even responding in a way that was somehow intended.
Do you see these weather anomalies? Do you see them really correlating with the sun cycles and the Mayan calendar? Is that something I'm sure that you're asked when something like this happens?
Well, undoubtedly, there the compaction of one challenging event after another. you know, from earthquake to, I mean, we could to tornadoes to flooding all over the place.
Right.
You know, those things are really happening, and they're happening with a greater. It's not that the level has not happened before in history; it has lots of times, but there seems to be a greater frequency of these events. And you know, even NASA, even the meteorological associations, the weathermen are now checking the solar weather in order to prepare. There's such a correlation between sunspots and which way the solar flares are headed, and as to where on the Earth there's going to be impact. And nobody knows the true nature of this. Some people speculate, and I tend to intuitively agree with this, some people speculate that those neutrinos, you know, these particles, and even physics doesn't have the right description for what this energy is, you know, but it spews out of the sun. It comes in not just to the Earth and shifts the energetic patterns that correlate with weather developments, but they hit us, and there's a correlation in consciousness, apparently. So all this is one big package, and nobody understands it really, but it seems to have been predicted. And the one thing I think we can prove to ourselves is that we're more empathetic to others. It hurts us to see Japan suffer all those. You know, it hurts us when people are looking for loved ones. And, you know, I mean, at levels that I don't think we were empathetically touched emotionally at these levels, but we are, and I think that's what it's all about somehow.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure that that's something you saw there in Alabama, where, you know, the death toll was pretty high, and I know a lot of people were looking for loved ones and unfortunately lost a lot of loved ones.
That's exactly. I mean, it's, you know, that's where we really empathize, you know. I mean, this sense that, you know, people were, you know, loved ones were alive, you know, one afternoon and gone that night. And, you know, we're also learning how to protect ourselves from these things. And, you know, a lot of people could have gone to a safer shelter and did not. And I think everyone's learning a big lesson about how, you know, these kinds of outbreaks at these levels, you really do have to get somewhere in a protected building, not just your basement, somewhere else in a protected building when these things are coming in. And fortunately, I mean, we, you know, as long as the satellites stay intact, we're going to be able to see these supercells coming, you know, 5 or 6 hours before they actually reach our area.
Folks, we're having a great conversation with James Redfield. He's the author of the Celestine Prophecy series of books. His newest book in the series, The 12th Insight, The Hour of Decision. Of course, hugely popular here in the U.S. And of course, now spreading across Europe. And James, I'm so glad that you're heading out there, because every time you're on, people from Europe are always asking when you're going, and now they have an answer. You know, while you're doing your tour, I'm sure that you do get a lot of questions from folks who are asking questions like this now. Now that you're in that kind of situation and have the opportunity to help so many people, is there something in particular that someone who's not in Alabama, or maybe someone who is in Alabama, can do? Is there something specific? Is it about donating money? Is it about getting out there? And is it offering other shelter, people who are displaced? Is there anything in particular that stands out that you think people could step up and help?
Oh, I just think money to really good organizations. You know, the Salvation Army is a great on-site group. The Red Cross is always good. And then looking for merchants who are, you know, you can Google helping with this tragedy, and you'll come up with big grocery store chains, you know, that will let you just donate to a food drive that they have going, And, you know, the bigger companies you can be, I think you can trust that that money's going to go right into direct aid with water and food and clothing and those kinds of things. But there are a lot of those out there, and they still need. You know, this is going to be several billion dollars of recuperation these families are going to have to come up with, and the government can't do it all, and it's really about people helping people.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I promise to get some more feedback. We're going to talk some more about living this 12th insight, what that means, and how you are already empowered to do this. The synchronicities are already flowing all around you. It's just us aligning and making the choice every morning. We're going to talk about that when we get back. While we're on break, I want you to check out CelestineVision.com. That's CelestineVision.com. Next Global Prayer Project is May 24th at 8 p.m. You know me, I love the Global Prayer Project. I think we need it now more than ever, so make sure you check out CelestineVision.com for more information about that or any of the Celestine Prophecy books, including Celestine Prophecy movie. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Empowered Living. We'll be right back.
Your beauty, just like your capacity for life, happiness, and success, is immeasurable. Day after day, countless people across the globe get on the scale in search of validation of beauty and social acceptance. Get off the scale. I have yet to see a scale that can tell you how enchanting your eyes are. I have yet to see a scale that can show you how wonderful your hair looks when the sun shines its glorious rays on it. I have yet to see a scale that can thank you for your compassion, sense of humor, and contagious smile. Get off the scale because I have yet to see one that can admire you for your perseverance when challenged in life. It's true. The scale can only give you a numerical reflection of your relationship with gravity. That's it. It cannot measure beauty, talent, purpose, life force, possibility, strength, or love. Don't give the scale more power than it has earned. Take note of the number, then get off the scale and live your life. You are beautiful.
Forget the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time.
Hi, this is Greg Braden, and you're listening to Empowered Living with Steve Miraboli.
Back. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Check out our websites, thebettertoday.com, stevemaraboli.com, and empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. We're having a great conversation with James Redfield. He's a New York Times number one best-selling author of the Celestine Prophecy series of books. His newest book, The 12th Insight, The Hour of decision is already a sensation. It's a powerful and exciting adventure story, and of course, timeless wisdom, the insights, and of course, this 12th insight, which is a decision to move, a decision to take action, a decision to live in alignment. His website is CelestineVision.com. That's CelestineVision.com. James, when we make this decision, it seems that the world comes alive with synchronicity. It seems like the world comes alive when you make this decision. The truth is, it's all been waiting for you there the whole time. It's that you come alive when you make this decision.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, our perception is that we're centering in a new respect and honoring of truth. We don't say something that we don't know for sure is true. We allow that truth to expand through interaction with other people, so that we always are moving toward a better formulation of what we know about the world. That's a kind of a conscious conversation that the book talks about. But the real magic begins when we begin to speak the truth, because and looking for how to help others, because then, of course, the intuitions come in as to how to help others. And that opens that whole right brain link with our highest spiritual self that is trying to feed us information to make our lives go better and to shape us in a way so that we wind up telling our truth in a way that is helpful to the world in a larger sense. And that feels like a mission that we came here. But again, first centering in truth is paramount. And then that first move toward remembering every conversation is about how we can help another person. And once we start doing that, truth and the service of others, thinking in every conversation before we go into it, we sort of just remember to see how we can help that person. And what occurs, of course, is that the universe, the karma that creates, the positive karma, is the universe begins to send us people who reflect that back to us, who act that same way toward us. So suddenly, all these people come to help us and give us truths just at the right time, and that's what we mean by the synchronistic flow that we can step into. Now, I think that to go deeper, though, we can stop at the point where we make that decision to remember, before we go into any interactions, how can I help? How can I be helpful? And what we find, of course, is that we run into our ego, our sense of importance and getting the job done runs in to the other person's ego, their worldview and what they're trying to do and get done. And that sometimes pushes all our buttons. If we start to see that, it's a good measure, because if we start to run into people that are pushing our buttons, we just kind of don't like their style or they seem egotistical to us. Sometimes it's reflecting how we are at some level. And that means, it's reflecting back how we look to other people in certain circumstances. So just remember, every person is a learning experience. And the key here is very important. The key is to look beyond the ego. And, of course, part of what the book explains and what we're discovering out there is if we just want to be one or unified with the other person's higher self, not the ego. The ego may be pushing our buttons, but the lesson is to move past that, to speak to this higher self. And there's something about intending that moves the other person into their higher self and moves us into our higher self for that conversation. Now, this is a technique to implement what we've been talking about here. Remember to go into seeking a truth or seeking something to say that will help or do that will help a person, but seeking also to communicate with that person higher self to higher self, so that the full intuitive knowledge comes into us and the other person. And what we find is, of course, that person will tell us things, and they won't even know why they're telling us, giving us information at just the right time. And becomes a, both people become a synchronicity to each other. Now, that's as simple, that's as complicated as it gets, right there, and what I just said. And that's something that can be implemented in one's life very easily. All you have to do is just remember to do it for 2 weeks, and then every person you run into, you'll become aware of something that you can do to give them just the information they need at that time.
Now, how do we deal with, you know, when we talk about the flow of synchronicity and we make this decision, it's a conscious decision, and there are synchronicities around all day, and there's incredible magical conversations and synchronicities. You always get, and I get the feedback, and I know that this is true, it has happened in my life plenty as well, that you do get some sort of kickback. There seems to be a resistance, and while there are some magical confrontations with, you know, connections with some people, there tends to be some confrontations with people who want it to stop immediately. You know, there are people who react adversely to positive change, and they react adversely to empowerment, and sometimes those are the people closest to you. How do folks deal with that, and how do they get around it or go through it?
Well, I think that we don't try to control them to get them to do what we want. You know, it's the ego always wants to get things done, which means find a way to make use of the other person, you know, or try to get them to do certain things in order to feel better about oneself. You know, that's what our egos all want, always want. So that's why it's so important to just focus on the other person's highest self, and just let the ego power struggle just ignore it totally as something that's just, you know, that's just lower, that's this lower of level interaction. That's what humans do. That egos do out there among humans, you know, humans do with their egos, I should say, and focus on the higher self interaction, which just means you try to talk to the highest person self, and then the key ingredient here is to not tell them what to do. Don't say anything that makes them feel as though you're telling them something to do. Just reveal what you've learned. Here's the truth I've learned, because I've had these kind of struggles, and I've done this, and I've done that, and this is how it's turned out badly, but now I'm learning to do it this way. Be a model without being invested in any way in that person accepting that model. People, you know, you want that person to be free to choose the models that work for them. You're just giving them your sense of what's going on, and you're revealing who you are and your history as evidence that what you're saying is beneficial and true. What that does is allow you to go past the ego and connect with that person at higher self, where it's just a discussion about what works, not one person telling another person what to do.
Is there a move that we're making? This coming from Jennifer. Jennifer's in San Francisco. She writes, I don't know if we as a society are trying to make this move into alignment, 12th Insight alignment. Is it to save the planet? Is it to save ourselves? I really want to give James a huge hug for writing another great book, but I'm curious if there's an end game to this. Are we trying to save the planet with this noble living, or is it simply just, again, bringing it back to the individual and saving our own personal universe?
Well, great question. The larger picture is, it's the, you know, we're having an awakening that is the absolute only way to save the world. And we've said this, talked about this before. You can't raise a large enough army to defeat all the perceived enemies that you have. You can't create a larger government to make everybody act right. You can't do any of those things. You can't have a big enough corporation to fill everybody's needs. the only thing we can do is to be a contagion, a positive contagion. And of course, toward the end of the book, that's really what's shown, is that what we're doing out there is that we're realizing that by living this life of integrity, we are positively contagious, not just to the people we interact with, but to the whole field, the mind of the earth, of everybody in the world. We set a new field of awareness that permeates every person in the world, because we're all one with everybody in the world. So when enough of us are living in this, you know, this quiet, determined life of integrity and helpfulness, then it's contagious to everyone, and it allows other people to move into this field, this consciousness, more easily. So the decision is to do it to save the world, because that's the only way to do that, to rid ourselves of these conflicts over religion and culture and revenge that's about to go nuclear. It's about to have the possibility of going full-scale nuclear destruction. So there is a certain urgency to do this. Now, I say that understanding that, and one can prove it this to themselves, it's the best life you can possibly have. It's the most fun. It's the most rewarding. It brings you the most money. It benefits everyone else. It gives you the solution to all your problems, all that. But the end game is about lifting all of humanity into a place where we can resolve these conflicts that are still boiling out there.
And that's it with conflict, and you see it now, and Greg is asking a great question in North Dakota, where he's talking about, and it's a little long-winded, Greg, so please forgive me as I reduce it a little bit. But he was talking about recently in the news, James, where we had essentially killed the Osama bin Laden, who we thought was who we gave credit for the 9/11 bombings, and you know, even that you would think would be a unified happiness or a unified idea of who this is, the president and whatever. But even that, James, brought on more arguments. And it was a left and a right, and who gets the credit and who didn't do it right and who did do it right. And then it was talking about everything from clothing to even that was an argument. And then it became an argument. Should you be happy about this? Who shouldn't be happy about this? Is this all the stuff on the news, James? Is this stuff that we need to kind of turn away from if we can't separate it from our own truth? Or how do we find balance with what turns out to be a bunch of agenda, regardless of how you feel about it? It's a bunch of agenda, and it's a bunch of opinions and a lot of manipulation. How do we protect our own selves from that? Is it as simple as turning off the TV?
Well, I don't recommend turning off the TV and isolating oneself. Reduce the TV maybe. Find some sources where you can get caught up on what's going on in the world from sources you trust. But also, I believe that we have to sample all kinds of sources to get the real truth. You know, left, right. Muslim, Western, Eastern, all these perspectives in order to get to learn the real truth of what's taking place. Now, so I don't say isolate oneself, but I do say do not let it move you off a personal search for truth that's manageable and centered and, you know, has a living community around you of people you like and trust. I think the grounding is important, not to be knocked out of that, not to be fearful. There's a scripture, you know, let not your heart be troubled in all this. Stay in the bliss and love connection, you know, that I think we're discovering how to do out there with this 12th insight. Stay centered and cultivate that relationship and know, you know, as the book seeks to illustrate, we're protected. I mean, we really are protected at this level of consciousness because you have intuitive guidance of how to remove yourself from trouble before it erupts. So this benefits your life at every level. But I think that it's important to have an opinion about what's going on and just make it your opinion and simplify it very, very clear for yourself. And then that's what you tell others until you run into someone that has a better formulation that you might want to adopt. That's the reality testing that each of us has to do to stay centered in the best truth we can find. I think there are a couple of things I want to mention, though, related to this, and that is it's important not to have enemies. I mean, we can have the opinion that, you know, Muslim radicals or, you know, Western, you know, more developed countries, extremes of all sorts, those are all errors. You know, maybe they're not opening up fully to a consciousness. They're still in a hate kind of consciousness. You know, to put it simply. But we can have that opinion. It's okay. But don't reduce someone who believes differently as evil people. Or somehow not having a soul. You know, their egos might, I mean, we may directly disagree vehemently. We may have to protect ourselves physically from people whose egos have the wrong idea from our point of view. But they have souls. You know, these are people with souls that maybe have not awakened past their egos. But people can awaken. You know, that's what's so important to understand. I mean, just lately, I've run into all this, you know, conspiracy theory about how, you know, either there are shape-shifting reptilian aliens, you know, they're in charge of government and they're trying to enslave us, or that there's just a conspiracy of corporate multi-rich who are trying to enslave us and make us serfs. Those are all ways to dehumanize some group of people, and it's the antithesis of the kind of consciousness we're talking about here. It, you know, you can't be in a spiritual consciousness and have those kinds of enemies, because it lowers your consciousness to the level of the hate you have toward the enemy. You cannot blossom until you can see people as not monsters and aliens, but as people just who are greedy, or people who just are power hungry, or so fearful they think they have to control the news media. You know, that's enough to deal with without adding on all this conspiracy theory. And this conspiracy theory is so damaging. I would even call it evil, because it reduces, dehumanizes other people and sees them as enemies and monsters that have to be defeated.
But really, we're talking about taking a conscious effort to not just sit back and wait for something to be told to you, but also get numerous perspectives. And you find that a lot of people don't get numerous, but they'll keep it on one news channel. You're saying it's good to switch around and get alternative media as well as varying sides of media. And I think that the point you make about dehumanizing is great, because you do often find that. You do often find that people with an agenda will try to make you know, Darth Vader out of everyone they disagree with, and they do dehumanize. And that's something that, you're absolutely right, James, it absolutely stops the ability to even have a conversation.
Yeah, no conversation. And also it stops our own personal ability to tune into a higher spiritual consciousness, because that belief itself lowers us to the level of of anger and ego and hatefulness. And also, we can't grow truth-wise either, because if somebody, you know, if we, everything, well, you know, just the example of people that think they're a group of shape-shifting reptilian aliens, you know, made up of diverse ideologies, of like Ronald Reagan was one and Jimmy Carter was one. I mean, you know, it's crazy at every level. But what they do is it's self, you know, the delusion is self-reinforcing, because if you say it to someone, oh, you know, there's a reptilian alien trying to control you, and that person says, I don't believe that, then the stock answer from that ideology is, oh, well, you must be one of those reptilian aliens then, if you don't agree with this, if you don't agree with the fight against them. So, you know, it's self-reinforcing, it's self-defeating spiritually. You know, if there was a set of self, if there was, you know, a set of monsters that were reptilian aliens that were doing this, they would be doing that same behavior. You know, that's the behavior that the darkest people would adopt. So, you know, I'm not very. Yeah, I think this is an area where people who are conscious and spiritual have to be very, very, not confrontive, but pleadingly clear with anyone who thinks that way, that it's not a path that is conducive to, you know, an opening of personally of spirituality or beneficial to a spiritual evolution going on among everyone.
And it's the truth, folks. And I've told you guys this before, and it becomes very frustrating, because even on the show, I get some of that sometimes when we have guests on, and they'll talk about that and the alien agendas and that Illuminati type stuff. And I'll never forget. And I think I've mentioned this on the show, where I was called one, and that's where it lost, James. It had almost no credibility to me, and that's when it lost the rest of it. When I was accused of being one of these global dominating Illuminatis, and I thought to myself, well, how do I prove that I'm not? Like, how would I even begin to prove that I'm not? And if they're saying this to me, how many other people that they're saying this about feel the exact same way I feel right now? And anytime I would answer and say, I mean. What's, you know, it's so absurd that any time I would answer, their answer would be, well, of course an Illuminati is going to say that. Of course you're not going to say you are. And it just seemed ridiculous to me. And the point you make is perfect, because it just kills the conversation. And what I love about this book, The 12th Insight, and about the message of all Celestine Prophecy books, is that you can start right where you are. It's not a study you have to do. It's not anything you have to buy. It's an upgrade in your thinking and an upgrade in your actions. It's aligning yourself with a higher level of living, really, and it's a higher level of living at which peace resides, at which success resides, at which synchronicity resides, at which conscious conversations reside. It's really bringing up your level of living, not just in the way you think, but in the way you act, and falling and having them all fall into alignment. It's a better way of life.
Yeah, and it, you know, the basic premise is that we're all souls trying to get past our egos, and to classify one group of people as, you know, as alien and monsters and enemies. You know, it's not about that. It's about reaching across and having an open dialogue with everyone who has been thought of as an enemy, and realize they're a soul on the planet who's seeking to wake up just like us, and they're seeking to come across from this ideology or whatever it might be to a full centering in a personal search for the real truth that all of us are engaged in. And it's that that's so fun. I mean, it's that that is invigorating at every level and leads to all this help we get in problem solving and winding up in a place where we can make a great contribution to the world.
Because it sounds like forgiveness, it sounds like understanding, it sounds like compassion are keys to living this alignment.
Absolutely. You know, it's not only forgiveness, but understanding that person who's been so bad from our point of view can change in the blink of an eye and open up and move past that ideology or whatever is holding them back. And sometimes it's from our conversation with them that they do that, which is the power of this living in this centered truth in which we're seeking to know the best thing, the best part of our knowledge to offer other people or to talk about in front of other people, and that might help them. So it's, you know, I believe there's something we're all understanding out there in bits, because our brains are trying to open up to a greater spirituality, and this is what we're realizing is the way to do it. It's a thing that's so much fun to talk about because we're on the right side of history, we're on the right side of psychology, we're on the right side of reaching across to people of different religions to resolve the conflicts. It's a clarity, I believe, that's coming that makes us on the right side of all those efforts.
It sure does, and you know, when we do a two-hour show, James, it flies by, so we knew we had no chance with the one-hour show. We've got 2 minutes left, and I'll close with the plugs, but I wanted to congratulate you again on the 12th Insight, the Art of Decision, and congrats on your European tour. I'm sure you're going to help so many people out there, and have a safe trip, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Well, listen, I love these shows with you because we can go deep, and for the rest of this year, really, I guess, we're just going to periodically take this systematically and go deep in a conversation of what this larger opening that we're experiencing really is and how to do it.
And we get to talk about what's happening in the world because we get to talk about it as it's happening. There's a lot happening, so it's great that we get to keep the show deep in these spiritual thoughts and activities at the same time associating it to what everyone is seeing happening outside. I love it. And, folks, we're going to continue with our series of James Redfield. Today is a shorter show, but I want you to make sure you check out CelestineVision.com. That's CelestineVision.com. I strongly suggest you check out the Global Prayer Project. Next one is May 24th, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. It's free to participate. So, again, that information is at CelestineVision.com. If you haven't read the 12th Insight yet, the Hour Decision, and you like the other Celestine Prophecy books, you'll love this one. If you've been hearing about the Celestine Prophecy series and you haven't read any of them yet, you're actually lucky that you get to experience them for the first time. I will never forget, and I know so many of you out there will never forget the first time you read a Celestine Prophecy book. Check it out. It's empowering. It's insightful. It's simple. It's fun. It's adventurous. And the second you pick it up and reading it, you're captivated. And when you put it down, you want to get out there. And you want to live like you've never lived before. James Redfield's got an incredible gift for writing these books and sharing this information. Check out CelestineVision.com. There's a Celestine Prophecy movie. Find out about the GPP. All the insights are listed there. And I want you to make a difference today. Make a difference in someone's life today. Get out there and live this. Everything you've been feeling, everything you've been wanting, get out there and live it. CelestineVision.com. Folks, you're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Sorry it's a shorter show today, but, you know, we keep busy. But I'm sure I'm going to follow the power of one today. You follow it as well. And while you're doing so, never forget that this New Yorker loves you and is sending you hugs. Check out our website, EmpoweredLivingRadio.com. We'll see you next time.
Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.